This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
I am happy to announce that Target Circle, the program we all know and love, now has automatic deals.
And with the all-new Target Circle being free to join, there has never been an easier way to take advantage of the most deals at Target.
When you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout, so you get the savings without lifting a finger.
And right now, you can sign up for Target Circle 360, which offers unlimited same-day delivery for just $49 for the first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details.
Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circle card.
When it comes to Podmeets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. In a recent study by the Harris Poll, on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs.
But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates.
Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier.
Express is in the business of recruiting talent.
Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges.
Visit expresspros.com for a location near you.
Ryder, you're in Kentucky?
I'm in Kentucky.
Whose house Kentucky. Are you in? You're in a very beautiful house in
Gorgeous.
Kentucky.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I have friends who moved during the pandemic, you know, like how everybody sort of made big life decisions.
Yeah, the Great Escape.
So some of my some of our closest friends who like were our neighbors, we used to do a nanny share with. So our sons are like best friends.
Aww.
Unfortunately, they moved all the way to Kentucky in the middle of the pandemic. So every summer now we've made it a point to get out here and visit them. So I was visiting Alex in New York. And then on our way back, we decided we'd stop off in Kentucky for a few days. And nice. Gosh, it's so gorgeous here. It's so green.
Yeah.
Guys, LA is not a green place.
I was just back in Connecticut. Same thing. Where you're just like,
it's crazy
so
making. I just forget like, you know, how much I need that. You know, I mean, I grew up around trees in Northern California and like, I love LA for so many reasons, mostly cultural, but like the landscape just doesn't have trees. Yeah. And I just don't even think about it until I get someplace like here. And I, you know, my son Indy's just like running through the grass and there's trees everywhere. And I'm just like obsessed with it. I'm kind of like looking around going, oh, this feeds my soul in some like very real way, especially also coming from New York City, which
of course,
you know,
are you giving Indy a very good tick check every night when he comes in?
No, that's a good call.
That's
though,
a great call. Yeah, that's the East Coast thing. It's like, all right, check the socks, check everything. Let's make sure we're good to go here.
Another thing we do not have to think about here in LA.
You know, exactly. You just don't have to think about it at all.
Well, I am really super excited about this episode. First of all, we had a wonderful talk and reunion with Rusty last week.
Oh, how great is he?
I mean, he's incredible.
I love him. He's awesome.
I thought it was really interesting that last week in the episode we watched with Rusty, he made the point that Feeny can give different advice than Alan can because Feeny doesn't have kids. And then the next episode...
Yep.
Was basically all about that.
Was about that. And I thought, so did Rusty cool. watch more than one? Did he watch this episode?
No, I'm sure he just remembers that that was like the central tension, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe these first couple episodes, you can tell they're so Rusty heavy,
yes.
first of all, which is interesting. Yeah. But then, yeah, you could just tell that you know, one of the central pitches of the show was, what would it be like if your teacher lived next door?
Yes.
Which, yeah. You know, obviously, because Feeny became such a legendary character and became such a huge part of our characters' lives, we all kind of forgot that central pitch for an 11-year-old boy like Corey, that's huge. And playing out that tension for its comedy value and its educational value is super interesting. And that's clearly what they were doing in these first couple episodes.
But, I mean, it really was Rusty, Bill, and Ben for the first, few episodes. Huge. And one of the things we should mention, but we talked about the original pilot where Rusty wasn't in it and I wasn't in it either. We went back and kind of looked. So while it was called the Untitled Ben Savage Project, it was also called Eleven.
Eleven, yeah.
Was the name of the show originally.
I never remember that. Yeah. I don't think I ever saw the original pilot. I was just there when we filmed it.
I got a copy
but
for
11
you.
Is a horrible title. Well, how do you maintain that?
Exactly.
What do you do next year?
Exactly.
Every year it changes.
So that's what it was. It was 11, a.k.a. the Untitled Ben Savage Project. So
that's
I had
crazy.
Forgotten that entirely, which was weird to see.
Well, I don't want to make our guest today wait very long.
Oh, we've been waiting long enough.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Will Friedle.
And I'm Ryder Strong.
And today... we are so incredibly overjoyed to welcome to the podcast Bonnie Bartlett and Mr. Bill Daniels.
Yay.
Is everybody on their best behavior? Because Mr. Feeney's here.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
Yay!
Here you are! Oh, and in matching colors, too.
Yeah, well, isn't that interesting? It just happened. What? Really, it just happened. I mean, first, then he came up, and he said, can I wear this? And I said, yeah.
You guys look fantastic. Is this what happens when you've been married for 70 years?
Yes. And you know what? June 30th, it'll be 71 years.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations, guys.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, Bonnie, was very recently you just had a birthday.
Yesterday. My 93rd birthday.
Happy birthday, Bonnie. Wow.
Bill's
93.
95. And now I'm 93.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Can I ask you guys, what do you think the key to 71 years of marriage is?
Billy, you know the answer to that.
Well, respect and honest communication.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a really good foundation for almost every relationship. You're right. Like,
yes. Yes.
It doesn't matter who the person is. If you have those two things, you could probably make it work.
Well, and you have to be flexible. Mm. I mean, you really do. You have to be willing to change.
Yeah.
When something's not good, you have to be willing to make the changes, both of you. If one person changes and the other person doesn't, it doesn't work. But if both people make changes to make it better.
Well, let me ask you about this then, because I'm super fascinated. You guys are both actors, incredibly successful actors. How did that, I mean, would you have had it any other way? You know, in other words, you mustn't have known actors who married people outside of the industry or, you know, people who were industry couples like you two. I mean, how did that happen? Did you work together first and then fall in love, or did you just happen to meet? I want to hear more about that.
We met in a classroom at Northwestern. I didn't know her. We were auditioning for a play, and there were people sitting around, and you know, I'd been on Broadway, so I was a cocky kid, right? So I listened to these kids, and I thought, oh my God, I'm not sure I want to be in this bomb. And then I heard somebody in the back of the room who was an actress, you could tell. So I looked around, and there she was. So I waited at the door for her, and I said, how about a cup of coffee? And she said, you're too short. And I said, come on, have a cup of coffee. She said, okay. No, drink coffee. And she'd been following me around the campus, unbeknownst to me.
Oh, so she really was a good actress.
I was a big fan or whatever you call all our fans, you know, I was one of them. All the people that followed. I thought,
so you were playing it cool.
Any celebrity that was in my sight, I would follow. You know, later on in New York, I followed Greta Garbo down Fifth Avenue a couple of times. Oh, wow. Eleanor Roosevelt, I followed her in New York. So anyway, I was that kind of person, just a shadow person, you know? So it never occurred to me that we would meet. It never occurred to me that we would become boyfriend, girlfriend. Never occurred to me because he was out of my realm. You know what I mean? He was like,
yeah,
he was like special. And and he always had this little Italian girl with him. So
who was that?
What?
Who was that?
That was one of the girls in school.
Wow.
You know, in school. When I would see him on the subway or whatever you call that, the L, he was going down to a play, you know, in Chicago, the whole group. He was always with this little Italian girl. I'm a big blonde. You know? I mean, I never thought of me with him that way. But I was impressed because, and he had a leather jacket also I liked.
Nice. Nice.
He was in the Sean Hunter tradition. That's amazing.
So anyway, and when I said you're too short, what I meant was, oh no, I'm too big for you. You know, I'm tall, used to these big Swedish boys and from Moline.
Big Swedish
boys. Swedish, yes. Because Moline was very Swedish. Olsen, Carlson, Nielsen, you know, all that. And so I was dumbfounded that he would be interested in me.
And
as
so
a girlfriend.
After that first cup of coffee, did you guys just continue? Was that just the beginning of a 71-year relationship?
That's correct.
We were
together.
Tied at the hip.
From then on.
Wow.
Great. And when did you guys first actually work together?
In that play.
Did that play? Oh, my God.
We did that play. It was
Bury the Dead.
Bury the Dead by
Irwin Shaw.
Irwin Shaw.
Okay.
I had a very dramatic part. Kill them all, you know, very dramatic. And he was the head of the union, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
He was the head of the union. A very dark play, very dark anti-war play by Irwin Shaw.
Unbelievable.
And so did you guys continue to consciously choose to work together, or did it just kind of happen because people associated you with one?
It just happened. As a matter of fact, we were both in positions, I on the soap opera, but we never interfered with each other's. We never said, oh, I want my husband to be on this. Oh, I want my wife.
Right. You know, you never like demanded it contractually
never,
or
even
anything.
Even in St. Elsewhere, it just happened.
Wow.
St. Elsewhere, time, for which you both won Emmys.
The only time when it was consciously done was when Michael Jacobs asked me to come in on that last year.
Yes. Sure, well, yeah. So for everyone listening, just in case you didn't know, obviously, Bill Daniels is Mr. Feeney. And Bonnie came on and joined us for the last season where she played the Dean.
Dean Bolander.
And Mr. Feeney and the Dean fell in love. And it's actually one of our fans' most favorite things when they realize you guys are married in real life.
Yeah.
And they go, wait,
you know
Feeney
what happened
and
in
the
Chicago,
Dean?
I went to Chicago for a Golden Girls convention because I played a villain on an episode of Golden Girls called Barbara Thorndike, a real anti-Semite, a terrible girl. And so I went there and I'm signing, you know, autographs and doing things. And this little girl is about 12, 14 maybe. And she came up and she looked at a picture down here and she looked up and she said, oh, you're Mrs. Feeney. It's Mrs. Feeney. She got excited and started. I never had that. It was never called Mrs. Feeney. She connected it. And I thought that was so sweet. Oh, yes, honey.
That is.
So,
oh, man.
They get so emotional about this show. Don't they?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody does. Yeah, and I'm especially for you, Bill, I imagine people must look up to you and immediately feel like you're this great authority, this vast wealth of knowledge that they can tap into.
Oh, I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
You were the teacher for many generations now. I mean, it's moving from generation to generation of Mr. Feeney was my teacher.
Right, so. And then they say, oh, I want my children to watch. And then they have their children watch the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they love the show.
So, Bill, how did Boy Meets World come to you? Did you have to audition? Was it offered to you? What was the situation there?
It was Michael Jacobs.
Michael Jacobs, yeah.
I asked for a meeting because I turned it down. And he wanted to know why. I said, well, that's a funny name, and I don't really want to make fun of teachers. I respect them, and they were underpaid and all that. And he said, And then he told me what my role was based on, which was a mentor of his when he was in high school. So a mentor of his. So I realized that the part would be treated with respect.
Right,
he
he
rewrote something too.
Did he?
Yeah, he rewrote something, and the powers that be didn't want it, but he made them do it. And that's what sold you. That first episode was a lot of serious stuff.
Yes.
He gave him a lot of serious stuff.
Yeah.
But Michael was willing to do that and capable of doing that. And he went against the heads of ABC to do it. Network.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if I remember correctly, it was actually after the table read that we did have a table read.
Yes.
And then Bill was very upset.
Yes.
And the table read did not go well, if I remember, in general. And Bill was upset. The network was upset. And Michael was sort of stuck in between the two impulses and ended up rewriting the entire script that night.
He did. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Bill was happy. But I remember Bill threatening to leave, or that's the story I heard, at least.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. And it's because he didn't feel like Mr. Feeny was being he was being treated with respect.
Yes, wow.
I was afraid that it might be
silly,
the brunt of a joke,
right? Well, that's very common in television. Is the teacher is kind of the buffoon, and the kids are pulling one over on the teacher every time,
and
yeah, that was just the television trope that you would always see.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's
we didn't want to do. Also, after St. Elsewhere, everybody wanted, as a matter of fact, both of us, they wanted us to do comedy. Bill turned down one comedy after another because he didn't want to do it. But that, you know, that's the natural thing to do after a serious thing. Then you do a comedy. He didn't want to do a comedy. And I went through a lot of times when I would like to have done it, but he said no. And so then when this came up, he really didn't think it would work. And he didn't really think that he wanted to do it. 7 years later.
There you go.
And he had a great time and he loved it. And I think that's due to Michael Jacobs, first of all, and then all of you guys. He really did, you know, respect you.
Well, it also brought him to a whole new fandom. Because, I mean, you've got, you know, St. Elsewhere is one kind of group of fans, and even 1776 is one kind of group of fans. But now to be on a show where the fans grow up watching you, it's a completely different vibe when you've got somebody raised watching you on television. Bill, when you look back on the shows that you do, is there one group of fans that you tend to get recognized for something more than something else?
Definitely not St. Elsewhere. Interesting.
I think Mr. Feeny.
Yeah. Definitely. It's the thing that, what do you call it, popular culture or something?
Yeah,
it became the most iconic, right? Because St. Elsewhere would probably be the most critically acclaimed of all the shows.
Sure,
right.
Followed by Knight Rider.
I remember in New York on a street, and a bus came by. I'm walking along, and a bunch of kids got off the bus and they saw me and they said, "Mr. Feeny," and they come running. And I ran around the block.
He ran away from them. He said to me, "Sorry, I'll see you later." And he ran.
So dignified, Mr. Feeny.
They absolutely terrified him.
Yes.
And they can be in New York, particularly when Bill wrote a book and we went to a signing, they were voracious, chased us around, jumped on the car, did all kinds of things.
Wow.
In New York. They were
Feeny fanatics. I am calling it hashtag Feeny fanatics.
Feeny fanatics.
I don't imagine fans of the Zoo Story on Broadway were jumping on cars.
We're the same. No.
Bill, what are your memories of meeting all of us for the first time? And what was that like to work with basically 12-year-olds?
Yeah. Well, you all were young and having fun. And I was much more serious.
Yes.
So I would hang out in my dressing room away from you all as you fooled around before the camera. And then they said, Mr. Daniels, we're ready for you. And then I'd go out. You guys were having a ball, and I'd taken it very seriously. Yeah. Frankly, I wish I were one of you.
Yes, he would like to have been one of you guys and having fun.
Did you enjoy the live studio audience?
Oh, yes. I much prefer a live audience. And that's from my work on Broadway. When you start on something and they're rustling the papers and programs and so forth, and you start, and then when you can hear a pin drop, you know you were doing okay, you know.
It's quite different.
I remember you would sit in your dressing room and you would play chess against yourself. And then I asked you one day, I said, will you teach me how to play? And you went, sure. And we did that for a couple of weeks. You taught me how to play chess. And then I think you kind of went, I want to go back and play against myself again.
I'm a much better player.
I'm a much
you.
Better player when I play against myself. Yes, is how I recall it.
More of a challenge.
Now, Bill, we've been doing this rewatch podcast this is our third rewatch episode. And these first three episodes have been so incredible, and there's always been at least one, if not two, very Mr. Feeney and Corey Matthews scenes. This is now the second episode, I'd like to go on record saying, the second episode where I fully welled up. I thought I was going to start having tears fall down my face. I was able to stop them before they fell down my cheeks. But you and Ben together are absolute magic, especially in these early episodes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was that like working with Ben?
Well, it was the same as working with you all. It really was very pleasant. I stayed away from being judgmental. I took whatever you gave me and I tried to work with it. And it worked out very well. I didn't want to be somebody who was older and more knowledgeable and making remarks, criticizing your work or suggesting. I did none of that.
Yeah, you did not.
I said that to him. I said, do you help them? He said, no, they're on my level. Yeah. They're the same level I am. I can't. Help tell them.
And we felt that. We felt so respected in a way. I mean, we've talked about that on this set.
Yeah.
I mean, having been on other sets as a kid, it wasn't always like that. In fact, most of the time it was not that. So to have that respect from the adults, especially the ones as experienced and seasoned as you, was such an amazing feeling. It made us, I don't know, it made us all up our game, I think.
Well, you also, Bill, so you talk about in your book, which is There I Go Again, How I Came to Be Mr. Feeney, John Adams, Dr. Craig, Kit, and Many Others, which is a wonderful book that you wrote. In the beginning, you talk about how you were a child actor. Did that affect in any way, shape, or form how you dealt with us?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I felt I have a mother that put my sister and I in the business. She was very
judgmental.
Yes, and ambitious. And
she was a classic stage mom in that sense.
Yes,
totally.
And frankly, I really didn't have a normal childhood. I was over at NBC with the Horn and Hart Children's Hour for years, and I really kind of resented it. Until I realized the better aspects of the work, of what it could mean to do your job as best you could. Hmm. And there's an audience out there. So
she was terrible. And I think that, and I loved her. She was a great grandma, but she was a terrible mother. But I think that those early scenes with Ben, I think that whether he knew it or not, he was Ben. Do you know what I mean? Right. Bill was Ben, and this sweet kid that brand new, you know, as far as he knew, just starting to act and just using his instincts, no training or anything, just instinctively acting and a lovely personality. And I think that's connected Bill to him. Yeah. And then all of you later.
But well, it shows. I mean, it certainly shows.
Yeah, it shows.
And so, Bonnie, what kind of father and now what kind of grandfather is Bill? What has he, we know Bill as this, you know, we remember him being so incredibly professional on set with us. I remember him taking his lines very seriously, holding the script or his cards that he had where he had his lines written and not wanting to mess up, being very hard on himself about being
very hard on himself. I saw him once go up on 1776. He went up where they gave him a new lyric and he blew it. He came in to the dressing room, went into the bathroom and wouldn't come out. He was crying in the bathroom.
Wow.
And this was as a grown man, you know, and everybody else was laughing.
Right. Yeah. No one, it wasn't a big deal to anyone else.
Like you guys would, you'd laugh when somebody comes up. He would cry because he was still a little boy. His mother saying, da, 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 da. Can't you get that? Is that so hard to get? Do it again. And then he'd sit in the back seat of the car and do it correctly for her.
Wow.
So he had made a mistake.
Dying to know, what kind of father is he?
He, you know, I was so worried. Well, I was Alice actress anyway, but so I didn't want to have children. And Bill wanted to have children more than I did, but I thought, no, this wouldn't work. Because very frankly, he was an angry guy. And I thought, oh, he would be tough on kids. You know, I thought he would be, I was afraid. And then as it turned out, he was a terrific father. And he both the boys, I think they were very different and he adjusted to each one.
Wow.
So that they could be who they wanted to be and who they were. He didn't ever try to, He never tried to make either of our boys like him or to do anything that's special. Just grow up, and they're very different, and they've turned out to be very wonderful men and fathers themselves. So he was a very good father. Very good father.
Well, that was one of the things that amazed me was what I like to call the two Bills. What? And I'm one of the few people that got to see that where – you know, on set, Bill, you were the consummate professional. We just wanted to earn your approval and have scenes with you. We were all going to Michael at different times saying, can we please have a scene with Bill Daniels? This is all we wanted. And then you both very nicely invited me to come up to Santa Barbara because you, Bonnie, were working with a ballet company.
Yes.
And I had grown up going to the ballet and you said, I'd like you to come up. And I got to hang out with Bill off the set a little bit. And the first thing he did was walk up to me with a big smile on his face and throw his arms around me. And I looked around going like, what's going on? Who is this guy? But it's because we weren't on set. It wasn't a professional atmosphere. And so he was on set. This is about work. This is what you do. This is your job. You take it very seriously. And then offset, you can go and be the type of happy-go-lucky person you want to be. And that was one of the first times where I really realized that that really struck me as, oh, you're right. Yes, we're having fun. And yes, we're young, but this is our job. We've got to take it very seriously. And we all, as young actors, have talked about going to our next job after Boy Meets World and being on time, knowing our lines, making sure we had our marks down, being very professional, and looking at the other kids we were working with going, wow, they did not have William Daniels on the set with them when they were learning how to do, because we all took away the professionalism.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I think, you know, meant the most to me was just kind of, this is how you're a professional.
He's very much more professional than I am too. I can be, I don't know. I love camera. I love to be on camera. I love all that. But I don't prepare the way he does. I prepare very differently. And I might say a line differently than it's written or something like that. And he does not believe in that. And he's not, what can I say? He's never allowed himself to be loose. like Ed Begley,
yeah.
somebody
yeah.
like that. You know, he doesn't allow that. And he's really good at it because he's funny. He has a natural wit. And that's what improvisation needs, is that wit. And that mm-hmm. is very good in St. Elsewhere, for instance. The wit is very important. He's always said that. He said, a serious play always needs humor, you know, because you got to have it. He will always look for the funny bit. And in that play, you missed the funny part. He says that to me all the time. A Thousand Clowns is a line where the guy says, you missed the funny part. And he uses all those lines. To me. He's very tough on me on set, but I don't mind it. Do you know what I mean? I just don't mind it. But he's openly tough on me, yes. And he can be a tough guy, very tough guy.
I remember, Bill, you telling me about opening night of The Zoo Story, the great Edward Albee play that you starred in on Broadway. And I remember you telling me that when the first line came out, you were I forget the character's name, but you're the sort of straight man on the bench. And the guy comes up behind you and says, I've been to the zoo. And you just looked up, and just by your look, the audience broke and laughed.
Yeah, they went
and I remember,
every time.
And then you said Edward Albee freaked out the first night because he was like, why are they laughing? This isn't funny. This is supposed to be a very serious play. But you guys kept finding laughs. Yes. I've always remembered that.
Yeah.
Such a great play.
He didn't know the humor that was in the play.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Even though he wrote it. And I didn't know it either, but all I did was look up, you know, because that's a funny line. I've been to the zoo,
yeah.
you know, and we learned to accept it because right. it meant that the audience was with you right away. And I thought I was just this guy sitting on the bench. He had all the lines.
right.
But I realized after a while that they saw the play through my eyes,
yeah,
right.
About him, who was a strange fellow, you know. Mm-hmm. But I realized that wasn't just a sit there part; it was a very important part of the play.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's in some ways. I mean, also what you do with Mr. Feeney, you get so many laughs without ever having to be very animated. You know, there's not a whole lot of like. He's not comical. You're kind of just a version of Bill Daniels, right?
Yeah.
This sort of, and yet you are getting so many laughs constantly. You know, and I feel like the rest of us are hamming it up or hitting these beats, and you never have to do a thing. You just kind of
thing. Exactly why Mr. Feeney and Eric worked so well together.
Yes.
Because they were such just opposites when it came to everything comedically that it did work. It just worked. It was that the classic straight man, Joker clown put together. And that's where you find the comedy. It's amazing.
That's the same as with Ed Begley.
I was one of the greatest compliments I ever got. We were about season 6 of Boy Meets World. And Bill, you came up to me and you put your arm around me and it said, it looks like you're my new Ed Begley.
And you
walked away. And it was, I remember just thinking like, that is the coolest thing. And I'm going to go buy a Tesla. very, very neat. Very, very neat.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Bill, you played Mr. Braddock in The Graduate, an absolutely iconic movie, an iconic role. What did you learn from Mike Nichols?
Oh, well, Mike was a performer himself, with Elaine May. He would pick people carefully, and then he would direct them only minimally. He let you alone, unless he saw something that was wrong, but he just let you alone. And I don't remember any actual direction that he gave me.
Interesting.
He let me do it the way I was going to do it.
Yeah, it was more about the casting in the first place.
And he fired people when he felt they were wrong, and he always said, it's my mistake. I made the mistake. He fired a very, very famous actor who's retired now. He was cast, and he fired him. Oh, gosh. He lives in Santa Fe. He retired. He was a great film actor, very big star. He thought that was the end of his, his life. What? Gene Hackman.
Wow.
Oh, wow. He fired
Gene Hackman. Wow. Was originally in The Graduate.
Yeah.
No way.
He got fired before they started filming.
Yeah.
And he was with Bill. He said to me, this is the end of my career. Mm. And Bill said, oh, you know. And of course, he went on to fame and fortune immediately.
Right.
But anyway, Mike just said, I made a mistake.
Wow.
He got the cast together and he apologized about letting Gene go. He said it was my mistake, not his.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is an interesting, something that I've often wondered about. It seems like, because I remember you telling us that you had no idea what The Graduate was, that it would become such a big thing. And I feel like that's often the case as an actor. You never know, was there ever a time where you were able to look around and say, oh, I am a part of something really special, or you knew exactly how big something was going to be?
Yes, I think it's a truism that no one knows what's going to work and what isn't until they tried it. And The Graduate was one of them. You know, we didn't know this young man.
I think Mike knew.
Yes, he did.
Mike Nichols knew.
Yeah, he saw him off Broadway. And they wanted Redford Robert Redford, the studio wanted Robert Redford.
Typical, you know, young, good.
And Mike said, no, I want this guy from New York. And he was in a position to call all the shots at that point because he had been very successful.
And he did. He had already done Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah. So it was an interesting experience. He was very funny, Mike.
Oh, God.
He could make anybody laugh at any given time. I remember they were photographing Dustin in the pool, and he was going over it with the cinematographer because they had a guy underwater that was going to shoot up underwater from one point of view. And I came over to see how it was being done. And he's talking to his cinematographer. And he senses I'm there. And he says, what? To me, what? I said, I just want to see how you were going to shoot this. He turned to his cinematographer and said, why is he attacking me?
He would call, and if I answered the phone, he'd say, Bonnie, and I said, oh, yes, sir. And he'd say, were we ever married? No, I remember you. He said, no, I never met you. He said, yes. He said, you were very big in my life. He said, you were Strasberg's secretary, and you were very important, and I paid $30 a month for that, and I said, oh, no, I don't remember. And finally I said, well, if I'd known you were going to be so famous, I would have remembered you. I was so embarrassed. I did not. How do you forget Mike Nichols? I had forgotten.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have a question for you, Bill. Your career has been so prolific. Is there a role that you really wanted that you didn't get ever that you can remember?
I
you know what? I can sort of answer that because
what
he has been quoting Hamlet all of our married life. And I think that although he never expressed it even to himself, I think he identified with that part very much and would like to have played that. Hmm. He was very good in Shakespeare. He was a Macbeth, very good Macbeth.
Oh, wow.
Especially in the later part.
That was at Northwestern.
But I know, but you were good. And you were very good at older. You could.
And you must have done Lady Macbeth, Bonnie, at some point, right?
Yeah. I was good in the sleepwalking scene, not so good in the first part. That's harder.
Yeah.
The harder part.
The letter.
Yeah. Tough.
Yeah.
To come on and do that well. And it was, I would have directed it totally differently than they did. I would have now. Yeah. And you know something? Maybe it's because it's Shakespeare, but it never is out of my head.
Wow.
Come back all the time. And he does lines from Shakespeare all the time, you know, just quietly sitting there. But I think he would have been a terrific Hamlet. He would have been.
Hmm. Bill, do you remember the feeling you had, or was there a specific moment when you knew that Boy Meets World was a hit? When did you know Boy Meets World was a hit?
Gosh, I don't remember.
I'm guessing it was before having to run away from all the people in New York.
No,
or maybe that was it.
It was that New York experience,
I think none of us really quite realized how much of a hit the show was until after it was canceled.
Yeah. But it wasn't.
I feel like the early aughts.
Uh-huh.
What? It wasn't really a hit. It was on, but we never got any of the publicity that every other show got. We just...
No, you didn't. And you were never up for Emmys or anything.
No. We just kept going. We were like Wings for kids. It was a show. Everyone's like, wasn't Wings on for a season? It's like, no, we was on for 8 years. It was one
and
of those...
Who would ever... have imagined how this has come back, how the people love you all and they want to see you all and they want to, you know, it's kind of amazing.
Okay. I have another question then, Bill. Do you have a Mr. Feeney type in your life or an educator that you think back to that really like made such a huge impact on you?
I was in a play on Broadway. Actually, I was an understudy, but it was a play with four sons called Life with Father. And I was the understudy. And as the oldest got to be 18 and was drafted, they'd all move up. And then I found myself at the bottom of the list. And but Mr. Lindsay came back into the play after having taken a year off of it.
Howard Lindsay.
The play ran for 7 years.
Wow.
Was a huge hit. So I knew that I was going to be drafted.
But first of all, you got to rehearse with him, and that was the thing when he came back into the play. That's when you got together.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He had a moment with me where and we're in rehearsal.
Because he came back to the play and he had to rehearse to get into it, and Bill was already in it.
Yeah. So he said, at this point, there'll be a huge laugh, Bill. He said, so just look in my eyes and it will tell you when to do your line. Hmm. And I thought, man, that's pretty strange. But it happened. He could release you with his eyes to say your line. But you had to wait because it was a huge laugh. And, you know, those laughs go up and they level and then just start to come down. That's when you come in with your line. And that's what he wanted from me. But he released me at that moment with his eyes.
Wow.
Interesting.
He was an amazing man.
And then
I said, I went to him in the dressing room and I said to him, Mr. Lindsay, you know, I'm going to be drafted. And when I get back, should I go? I was thinking of going to the,
the Academy of Acting in New York, very famous.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And he said, he was at his dressing table. He said, close the door. And I closed the door and he said, don't go there. He said, I'm on the board. Oh. Don't go there. He said, what you do is you write the Board of Education for colleges that have good speech schools and drama sections, which I did. I wrote the government and I got an Board of Education. I got an answer back and it was Yale, UCLA, Northwestern.
Wow.
And so I was out with my sisters.
And Catholic, the one where Walter Kerr was.
Oh, yeah, and Catholic University. So I was out with my sisters who were in a play with Walter Houston. My little sister was, I don't know how old she was.
Seven.
She played, it was called Apple of His Eye, Walter Houston. He was a great man. And I went up there and they gave me a thing.
A test. An entrance exam.
I had no education.
That's what Howard Lindsay said. You do that and you're going to get an education. He said, you need to get an education. And that's why he said, go to college. Don't go to the American actors thing in New York.
Right. So don't just worry about your acting. Worry about educating yourself in broader sense.
An education.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
most of the best advice.
Absolutely right.
Bill's parents never graduated from high school.
Wow.
They never even graduated. They never went to high school.
I have a funny story about that. My sisters were in Chicago in a play with Walter Houston, and I was out visiting them. And my mother said, I think one of those schools up there somewhere is one of the schools that you wrote that was recommended. And so I went up without an appointment, and I see this beautiful school on the lake. Yeah. and the campus and everything. And I, you know, and I didn't have much of an education. We were actors, you know, we didn't.
So they were poor. Poor Brooklyn,
right. And so I went up there and I walked around until I found the person who would interview me. And
you took the test. They said you were in uniform.
Oh, yeah.
And you had been on Broadway.
Yeah. I took this test and the room was filled with other people taking the test. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, could be yes, could be no. And pretty soon I heard, and I look up, it's the teacher. And he said, are you finished? Well, I wasn't even halfway through it.
Oh my God. I said,
yeah, I guess so. And I had it on paper and I got on the train going back down to Chicago and I thought, well, I blew that. But they accepted me.
Yep.
And I think they accepted me because I'd been on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. I think
yeah.
Full of speech. Yeah. Sure. But, you know, when he started out, when I met Bill, his grades were A, B, C, D. He had the two speech courses were A and B. And then he had the D were political science or something, which he didn't often take a test or something, you know. By the time we ended, he got a full scholarship to for a master's. He was a straight A plus.
Wow.
Because he was a natural, but he'd never didn't know how to do it. And of course, I was a professional student. And so I just helped him to learn how to be a student. And he was top.
Now, Bill, I've heard you tell the story before because you don't have a Brooklyn accent at all. You have actually a very refined American standard accent, which when I was a kid, I completely thought was British.
We all thought you were British.
Yes,
I remember asking you, are you from London? And you just kind of sheepishly went, no, it sounds like that, doesn't it? But so you actually trained yourself to get your accent from the play that you mentioned, Living with Father, right?
Life with Father, yes.
Life with Father, yeah.
I kind of picked it up naturally, really. From the other people in the cast.
Yeah.
And the Brooklyn accent went, and it was something like a New England accent very close to British accent. Mm-hmm. And I picked that up without realizing it.
It's hard. I've never understood it because I know his whole family. And when he was a little boy, he didn't want to be in Brooklyn. He didn't want to go to the automat. He was like always, always different. He's totally different from his family. And I don't know. You're just born that way. I don't know where it comes from. But he is totally different from everything about him is different from his family, except his father was also a very angry man, and that the anger he got from his dad.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing you to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What does it mean to you when people come up to you and tell you that they themselves have become a teacher because of you and your role as Mr. Feeney?
Oh, well, I thank them and I wish them well. It doesn't happen that often.
But it happens all the time in the cameos that you do.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes him very happy because that's real on Bill's part. Education and teachers. Yeah. And it changed his life. And he just loves people who become teachers. He does.
I mean, Bill, if you don't hear it every single day, it is only because people end up feeling too shy to tell you, because we hear it
all the time.
I hear it all the time.
All the time.
You have made such an impact for so many different reasons over the course of your career, but especially Mr. Feeney has made such an impact on generations of children because of the people who were so inspired by you that have now gone on to become teachers themselves. And they're using you and Mr. Feeney as an example of what kind of teacher to be. All those students under those teachers are benefiting from you without even knowing it.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
And in all those parts, that has come through. And I think that's just Bill.
Yeah.
Really think that's just who he is, and how he registers to people. And I don't know what you call that.
You call it the ultimate definition of lead by example.
Yes.
Okay.
Is what it seems to be. Because again, with Bill, he never taught us. It was just we learned by being around him. So it was that lead by example. This is look at what I can emulate if I just try a little harder. So I think it was that.
As an actor, something comes through that is, I think, special.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course. Well, they talk about it or the X factor. Those are words you hear all the time that, well, how do you describe it? You can't. You point at it. And I think I think Bill's got it in spades.
Yeah.
Bonnie, what are your memories of being on Boy Meets World?
Well, it was so fun and easy. I had never been terribly comfortable on sitcoms. I'm better as a dramatic actress, very dramatic. And so I had been on Barney Miller, and it was a very successful, funny shows. I did okay. And then I did that Golden Girls. I didn't think anything of it until much later. And then that character became the mean, blonde, Midwestern, behind the scenes terrible lady, which I knew how to do. But so when Michael asked me to do it, I was kind of flattered. And he never asked me to do, the only thing he ever asked me to do I couldn't do was click my fingers. We spent a half an hour with him trying to get me to click my fingers. Finally, he said, I give up. I can be funny in a different way, but it's not his way. It's totally different. But I don't have that. I don't have that funny bone.
Well, you both do. You both have the set. It's just that you have different senses of humor.
I mean, Bonnie, you are an Emmy winner.
Yes, and very funny. You're also very funny. It's just. I remember Bill telling me.
I'm not
Bill,
witty.
Well, no, yes, you sure you are. It's just a different. It comes out. Bill is very quick when it comes to that kind of. Kind of, you know, we will do conventions together, and Bill might only say two or three things on stage, but they bring the house down. I mean, the timing is perfect. The line is perfect. Bill, I remember you telling me one story about a joke on Saint Elsewhere that you thought was hysterical, where you were playing the piano and there was a vase of flowers on the piano. Do you remember this joke?
Yeah, this was Bruce Paltrow's and the writer's jokes.
They always tried to fool the censors.
Yeah.
To put in something very dirty, and the censors won't get it.
Really?
This is such a great joke, too.
That was their big thing.
And what was it that's true?
Two lips on the piano.
Two lips on the organ.
Two lips on the organ.
Bill was sitting there playing, and he said, "There's nothing better than two lips on the organ."
I didn't want to do it.
You thought it was crass.
It was two lips. He said, so he would say, "Two lips on the organ," and they said, "No, two lips on the organ." No, they fought
about it. That's a pretty clever joke.
It was a great joke. I remember you telling me that and just losing it for days. Two lips on the organ.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, are there any actors you wish you could work with again, Bill? I mean, no pressure to say us sitting here, you know, but just wondering, like, of all the amazing actors you've worked with, are there any actors you'd love to work with again?
They're all dead.
Well, yeah, I'll say anybody.
That's what he said.
You all.
Yes. Yes.
We're the only ones still alive. Nice.
Process of elimination.
I remember our show with just affection. I really had a great time on the show and with you kids when you were kids. And it turned out very well, as it turned out. So I remember it very well. That's all I got to say.
We remember it very well too, and we are very fortunate, as Will mentioned, that we get to do conventions with you and we get to see you regularly, and I know how much that means to fans too, that they get to tell you how much you mean to them. You are very special in so many people's lives, and you know, I can very easily cry thinking about that last scene that we did with you at the end of our show, and for all the years we worked together. There was something so, seeing you and being with you in that last scene in the classroom really nailed home for me that this was the end of an era.
Yeah.
And it also was very much the end of my childhood. I had been on Boy Meets World from 12 until I was 19 years old. And knowing the show was over and saying goodbye to all of these people and saying goodbye to all of these experiences that had really shaped, you know, the majority of my life at this point.
Yeah.
You are very special to me, and I will love you and appreciate you forever. And I'm so lucky that I still get to see you and talk to you regularly. And I went to your book signing. I waited in line outside, and when they found out I was outside, Belle was like, "What are you doing waiting in line? You could have told me you were coming." I was like, I wanted the experience. I wanted to do it like everyone else. So just thank you for everything.
You know, I think your show is one of the healthiest shows, the healthiest comedies.
And I think so too.
That's one of the reasons it, and you know, I say that we need that. And people need that now, that kind of healthy thing that was part of that show. It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love you, Bill. I don't know what else to say. We love you, Bonnie. Thank you both
so
much.
Thank you guys so much for everything. I cherish our memories and conversations. I'm so grateful.
All the time. And here's to many, many more of them, because we want to have you back, because we're just scraping the surface of Mr. Feeney and Bill and Bonnie.
I feel like you're afraid to cry, Will, but you're the closest.
I am never afraid to cry.
You're out of all of us, you are the closest to Bill and Bonnie.
I don't cry ever except at Feed the Birds when they sing that on Mary Poppins. Everything else is not sad at all. No, we've gotten to know each other very well over the years, all of us, and it's just amazing that we've been able to share all these experiences. So thank you for coming, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. We love you guys.
We love you.
Thank you.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Wow.
Oh man. What?
That went great. Oh my God.
They're so wonderful and so
Stories that man has, the life they have lived is just amazing.
Watching their shorthand communication where Bill will start to get like he's telling a story and then he'll start to get distracted and think, what was my point? And he'll just look at her and she'll go, and then, and she gives him like, and he's like, right. And like watching their shorthand together is just amazing.
Yeah. It's incredible.
You know, it's funny. We've talked a lot about the, you know, just recognizing how old everybody, like when we were kids, everyone was just blanket adults.
Yeah.
Like by the time they were on, that we met them, I mean, the wealth of acting experience and like industry experience, like I just can't believe I didn't take more advantage of it, you know, because I think in my, at the time, I mean, this is just part of being an adolescent. You think you know everything. And obviously, like, I knew Bill had done a lot, but, you know, I just wish I had a tape recorder. I can go back in time and ask him about all those things. Just every once in a while, he would just open up his mouth and tell a story, like the zoo story, Broadway, and or working on The Graduate, or any of, and every single one of them are, they're legendary. So it's, you know, it's one of those things, like, you realize almost too late, always, like, oh, we should have been writing this down or recording.
Well, again, though, when you're a kid, you know, your life is going to last forever. And you know, we were taking every day for granted that we were, while we were on the set of Boy Meets World. And you're not thinking about your craft when you're 13, 14. No. I mean, not at all.
No. And you also have this weird thing, like, I don't know, at least I did, where, I guess I just didn't. You just don't think of your career beyond the moment you're in.
Sure,
you know, like, sure, the idea that, like, well, Boy Meets World is going to end, and then you might be in like 50 other TV shows like Bill Daniels. That's just impossible to imagine.
Sure,
you know, but like at that point, they had a full whole life of acting and being in the business, which I just don't think you can recognize as a teenager. You just think that, like, oh, it's always just going to be like this forever, not realizing that, like, first of all, the chances of you being able to continue working are so slim because you have to, you know, just get the jobs, and then just to have the tenacity and the willpower to stick it out. It's so hard. It's so hard. And to be positive about it, have a positive attitude. I mean, you know, there's a reason that most people stop acting in their 20s.
Especially when you were a child actor forced into the industry, which he was. I mean, if you read his book, he was there, and he talked about it in the interview, but forced into the industry. And we've talked about how easy it is to get that love of entertainment or love of acting just beaten out of you at a young age. And for him to then take his own career by the reins and go, no, now I'm in charge. I'm going to learn the craft and I'm going to go from there. It's so rare and just amazing to have that longevity in this industry and hit every single version of the industry, from Broadway to play, to regular plays, to Broadway, to understudying, to, I mean, he's hit every possible
sitcom,
level,
drama,
sitcom, drama, you name
film.
It, he's done it. Yeah, I mean, voiceover. I mean, he was Kit on Knight Rider. He's hit.
We didn't even talk about Kit.
We didn't even get into Knight Rider.
Well, that was a question. That's a question I wanted to ask you guys. What was your knowledge of Bill Daniels when you met him? Or what did you know him from when you met him on set?
I had three very important things to me. Kit from Knight Rider was very important to me. The Graduate, just as, you know, someone who loved film, quote unquote, by, you know, 16.
Really? So you already knew The Graduate?
Oh, I already 16. Absolutely knew The Graduate. But I also knew, it's not called Death Becomes Her. What's it called? There's the Friedle family has, we were big movie fans, but it was always kind of schlocky movies. Like,
wait, I know which one you're going to say, because this was my answer.
Which one?
Her Alibi?
Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's it. That's Tom Selleck. That's what I realized, because I was sitting here because I thought of this question and I was like, what was the name of that movie? Because it was the only thing I really knew Bill from. It's a 1989 movie with Tom Selleck.
It's a
total
great movie.
Schlocky, like, erotic thriller, I think.
It's Paulina. It's called Tom Selleck, Paulina Poroskova, who's a supermodel, and she plays Tom Selleck's girlfriend. And then there's Bill Daniels, who's like his literary agent.
Because he's a novelist.
He's a novelist. It's
That's
a great
exactly
movie.
I don't know if it is. I do. It's definitely of that tradition, like in the late 80s, early 90s, those sort of like tight thrillery, you know.
It was a comedic thriller.
Wait, you guys, this is nuts. I didn't know he was in that movie, but that movie plays a very integral part in my, like, childhood stories.
Really?
Because
what?
Yes, because my parents had rented it from, like, Blockbuster, and it was on the kitchen counter, and my brother walked by and said, "What's her Alibi?" And it was just one of those moments where, like,
one of those family jokes
where everything was, it's her Alibi. It's her Alibi.
Wow.
And we've told that story a million times of, oh, remember the time Chris thought Alibi was Alibi?
Oh, we should have brought this up to Bill. Cause I mean, I
was going to, but then I was like, we're talking
in his
about
career,
Emmys
in his career. I'm so curious where her Alibi falls. Like, it must be so low on the totem pole of important career milestones.
Seriously.
But for me, that's exactly what I knew him from.
Me too.
And then it wasn't until we were filming our third or fourth episode and we were doing a note session with Michael Jacobs, and Bill leaned forward and said, "Now, Michael."
Michael.
And I went, "I know that voice." And I had I hadn't really grown up with TV, but I did know Knight Rider because, of course, everybody in school would talk about Knight Rider. And so I knew his voice the second I heard. And I remember going to Universal Studios as a kid and you could go talk to Kit the car.
Yes, you
could.
And
they had somebody doing an impersonation of Bill Daniels' voice. Yeah.
No,
so,
it was,
those are the only two things I knew him from. And on everything else I had to learn while working with him because he would never talk about stuff either.
No.
Like, you know, he would never brag. He would never.
But that's why getting Bonnie on the show was so fun because she would come in and in front of him start telling Bill Daniels stories.
Yeah.
And she was kind of like pulling the curtain back. And it, and you could tell she loved to do that. Mm-hmm. And you could tell Bill did not like
it. She didn't even today. Exactly. She's like, he's an angry man.
Exactly.
He was, you know, I thought he was going to be a horrible father.
No.
She's so honest. And I love it.
No filter.
Because he's much more reserved.
One of the first moments I can remember actually connecting with, not connecting with Bill, but going up and saying, I'm going to talk to him and just see, I quoted him to him from Her Alibi. And he went, oh, yeah. Like, that was it. Oh, yeah. Because
yeah,
I can,
I mean, said that.
I just, it was like, oh, okay. Because that was what we did in our family. My family, we are huge movie quote people. So I was like, I'm going to go quote it to the guy. And it didn't go over that well.
Yeah.
I was like,
lead balloon.
Her alibi. That's so funny. Oh,
anyway,
man.
That was amazing. I'm so glad they were here.
Oh, man. I could talk to him forever.
All right, so up next, we are going to talk episode number 103, Father Knows Less. It is directed by David Trainer. It originally aired October 8th, 1993. And yeah, thank you for being here with us. You can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show. And you can also email us your questions or your thoughts at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And merch, t-shirts are available at podmeetsworldshow.com. They're pretty great.
I want a shirt.
I think we can get you one.
Can we get one?
I think so.
I'd like to get a shirt.
Are you interested in a shirt?
Me?
No, I guess he's
I
not.
I don't wear my hair on my shirt.
I don't wear shirts. That's what Ryder's like. I don't wear shirts. He's just shirtless
shirts,
all
guys.
The time.
Too much shirts.
Too much shirts. We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Lorraine Guerrez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's time to step up your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage. With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's got an all-new bottle that boasts an all-new mist experience that smells great. You know that Banana Boat smell, and it's incredibly light on your skin. It's available in Banana Boat's high-performance, water-resistant sport formula and pediatrician-tested kids SPF 50.
Tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring that long-lasting Banana Boat protection.
And it's refillable.
You know, I'll be camping or backpacking soon, and I'm going to need the Banana Boat 360 coverage I can count on.
The time has come. Get ready now. Shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303 mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.